So, call to order. Good evening. I'd like to call to order the November 14th, 2023 regular session of the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board meeting at 6 p.m. If you wish to address the board on any item on this agenda, I don't see anybody. Okay, we can skip that part. Roll call. Ms. Wilson, will you please do roll call?
Yes. Vice Chair Temple?
Here.
Board Member Horvath?
Here.
Board Member Landau is absent and excused. Board Member Muthart?
Here.
Board Member Saleta?
Here.
Board Member Varies?
Here.
And Chair Wood?
Here.
Next up is the department report. Mr. Jankowski?
Thank you, Chair. I know at the start of the meeting, Rosalind went around and introduced herself to some of you, but we're going to start off with the department report with introducing our new Parks and Recreation Director, Rosalind Epting, and I'll give her a few minutes to give a bit of an introduction to everybody before we get into the rest of the department report.
Good evening, everyone. So my name is Rosalind Epting. Feel free to call me Roz. I'm going to give you a quick little, probably 30-second rundown. I was born and raised in the north suburbs of Chicago, and I went to the University of Illinois, where I received a bachelor's and master's degree from what the department is now called Recreation, Sport, and Tourism. It was Leisure Studies before. I'm a certified Parks and Recreation Executive, as well as a certified public manager. I have about 25 years of experience in Parks and Recreation, so that ranges from programming for all ages and ability levels, as well as events. And then I have facility management, so you're talking community centers, senior centers, pools, and an ice arena. So I've driven a Zamboni before. I've dragged fields before. I've done all the work across the board. For about 15 years of that career, I was at a director level, whether that be an assistant director or a director. And so now I'm here with you, and I'm looking forward to meeting everybody, learning about the community. You've got a lot of great projects and programs, and Matt's been fabulous. I started last week Monday, and he has helped me through a lot of things and explained a lot of things to me. So we've worked really well together, and I'm looking forward to doing a lot of great things while I'm here. Nice to meet everybody.
Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Did Matt tell you I like stickers?
I'm going to remember that. I'm going to remember that.
Yeah, and we're very happy as a department to have Roz here. I'm happy in particular because hopefully my calendar is going to open up a little bit.
And it's all moved over to my arrangements.
We're working through that process. An update on some facilities, events, and programs for the Parks and Recreation Department. As requested by our town manager, we're now reporting on a monthly basis membership numbers as a part of the town manager's executive report. He's implemented a balanced scorecard directive where each department is providing some general information that we feel is beneficial to the entire community for them to understand and learn about. Specifically to our department, we are providing information-wise our monthly membership numbers. So this is memberships tied to the Community and Recreation Center, golf memberships, the Oro Valley Aquatic Center memberships, our archery range, and if you didn't know, we also have metal detecting memberships. If you want to metal detect in a park, there's a membership for it. So with all of those combined, we have 4,827 members within the Parks and Recreation Department as a whole. 3,200 of those members are specific to the Community and Recreation Center. That is a new high for that facility since the town took it over. We're continuing to see that number grow, which is really a great thing. So that's kind of specific to facilities, but just if you guys see that as a part of the town manager's report in the future, that's what that number encompasses. This related to events, this October we combined two of our Halloween events that we previously did. We did the Spooktacular event at the Community and Recreation Center, and we did the Monster Mash event over at Steam Pump Ranch. Both of those were great events, very well attended, but they outgrew both of those locations. They were a little bit smaller in size. So what we did this year is we combined both of them into one new event at JDK Park, which we dubbed it Halloween. If you didn't see in the newspaper, it's the OV in Halloween. We had over 5,000 people attend that event. So it's a combination, but it really was a brand new event. And we got a fantastic turnout. It was all in the evening. The event included food trucks, carnival games, arts and crafts, music, jumping castles, and we had a trunk or treat area with over 30 local participating agencies handing out candy. So it was a fantastic event. We got really good comments about it. The line was extremely long for trunk or treat, but everybody was in a pretty good mood, everything related to that. And there's just no getting away from line sometimes when you have that many people show up, but ultimately it was a great event. And additionally, participation in programs and activities remain strong across the department. We've got programs at the CRC. We've got new programs over at Steampunk Ranch. And one thing in particular, we do have new fitness programs being offered at the Oro Valley Aquatic Center, utilizing the artificial turf on the west, or I'm sorry, on the east side of the facility. We're now doing yoga and some fitness classes over in that space. So we've continued to expand the programming that we have over there. And one project that we just recently completed, if you haven't seen the news or watched the news, the large dog park over at Naranja Park has been something that we've received a number of comments about, hoping to have some improvements providing turf in that space. We closed down the large dog park for the entire month of October, installed new turf. We reopened it last Friday, the 10th. We've got new turf in there. It looks great. We moved some of the amenities that were in the park, some of the dog obstacles and play features, to the outskirts of the area, so those are still in there. But we made that improvement out there, and we did it in a way that turf should last and make that park now consistent with the other two that are there, so that there's turf throughout. So that was a really nice thing. We've received pretty positive comments with regards to that. Specific to Naranja Park, the expansion project remains on schedule. Concrete and fencing for the pickleball courts has been installed, and work has begun on the splash pad area with the underground plumbing and piping installed. We have framing erected for the concrete placement to set the border and outline for the entire splash pad itself. The skate park and pump track amenities are currently in permitting review, and the new field lights have not only been installed, but they are hooked up and they are operational. We turned those on about 2 weeks ago to check those out, and they look really good. Curbing and sidewalk has also been placed and continues to be added to the site. Things are running very smoothly with that project. Fingers crossed everything holds to plan, and we'll be looking for something in the springtime for a reopening, probably late spring for a grand opening. With regards to the Vistoso Trails Nature Preserve, staff is continuing to work with the consultant Site Southwest to fine-tune the master plan document, and we're going to be going back out to the public to provide a survey that we'll also be bringing to the PRAB and then ultimately to the town council. And as a part of this survey, what we're going to be doing is working to identify priorities moving forward from the community, from the PRAB, and from the council, tied to the funding that goes, or tied to the costs associated with those amenities, so we can then really develop an implementation plan that not only has priorities but costs associated with those. So the master plan for the Vistoso Trails Nature Preserve has taken a little bit longer than originally anticipated, but the idea behind that is that added time is going to provide us with a better product that we can really use and everybody's happy with. The Community and Recreation Center elevator and entry project is currently ongoing. The design work has been completed, and we're currently receiving construction bids for this project. Once a contractor is selected, we'll develop a schedule in efforts to try to minimally impact the golf restaurant operations. There's going to be impact to the restaurant, the overlook up there, just by the nature of the way that this works. We're working together with Indigo Sports, our golf contractor, to try to minimize that, and we're also going to work to tie that into a couple of other projects, specifically some roof repairs and a new freezer installation over at the Overlook. So we're going to tie all these things together at the same time, again, to try to minimize impact and get the most bang for your buck with that. In addition to the elevator going in, if you weren't aware, the new entry for that building will actually eliminate the landing area right now. If you enter into the golf side of the building, you enter into a landing area where there are some offices to the left and stairs up and down. This will now have you enter on the ground floor where the golf shop is. So it will be a brand new entryway, which will make that building look, or that portion of the building look better as well. And the last item I have for an update is regards to the 50th anniversary. If you didn't know, next year is the town's 50th birthday in April. We'll reach 50 years as a town and corporation. Town Council has made a request that with the plans for the 50th anniversary celebration, we also include a parade and a large-scale special event, with both of those events being held in the month of April. Parks and Recreation staff are working with the communications team as well as the Oro Valley Police Department and are developing plans for each of these new events, and we'll have more details to provide once they've been confirmed.
Super.
So, Chair, that is my report for the evening.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Take any questions?
Sure. Joe, questions?
Only if you're trying to ask questions and not trying to get him to analyze your answers such that this would be something someone would want to read or listen to.
Matt, I just was curious to make, you know, the 10-year plan that the community is going through. I assume some of the 10-year stuff you're looking at is being collaborated with those folks.
Yes.
I didn't say anything.
Okay. I'm just making sure.
I hate it when he looks at me.
I didn't want to say too much.
Hit the glare and stare.
Yeah, sorry. That's exactly right.
So next up is the council liaison's comments. Our friend Joyce Jones-Ivy is going to tell us all kinds of stuff.
Thank you very much, Chairman. I not only want to welcome Roslyn on behalf of council, well, we also have two other new employees. Scott Zufelt is the new director of IT, and we have Jeffrey Hidalgo, who is our new information officer. So, welcome.
Thank you.
Council's been a little bit busy. The interesting thing that we've done, not that everything we do is not interesting, but what really caught my eye was our last council meeting was the first, and we actually did a study session on a conditional use permit to allow a mobile food unit. To have mobile food units, we're calling it a court, so they can come in and be able to sell food. So, yeah, that was very exciting for me. As I've traveled home in my home. Well, this is my home, but I'm a Californian. I mean, they're just really very popular there. So this is one item that excites me. The other was we took a look at the possibility of allowing the keeping of small animals for food production and animal husbandry. So you might want to keep your eyes on how that develops and ultimately what comes back and what it's going to look like when it does come back. Tomorrow we're going to be looking, we're going to be having two public hearings. One is going to be a Type 2 General Plan Amendment, and I know that you're familiar with the subdivision across from Valley Vista and the Rancho Vistoso area. They're looking to develop that area. It's between Rancho Vistoso Boulevard and Kalalua Drive. I'm encouraging you all to come out if you want to be a part of our public hearing, or if you just want to just comment on it. I know most of you probably don't live in that area, but our public hearings are getting a little bit sparse. So the more that's concerned that has something to say, I'm welcoming all of you. The second one is going to be on whether part of this land can be considered for medium density residential and open space also. So, again, I invite you out. Bring your voices and your opinions if this is something that interests you. We're going to also have a public hearing on, we've got a request from Town West for unused portions of Tangerine, which are right-of-ways, that they're interested in either. We'll find out tomorrow if they're interested in taking this on, if we council is just going to just be responsible for this, waive it or whatever. And again, please attend if this is something that's going to be impacting you. The other thing that I wanted to share with you, if you don't know, we're having a shredding event come Saturday over at the Marketplace. So all of those documents that you save for our twice a year shredding, please bring them. It's going to be located, as I said, at the Marketplace, and I am really directionally challenged. So when I go all the way down the end of the road and turn in, that's where you're turning in. But you'll find it because you'll see the big shredding trucks. Okay, that's my other landmark. Also, Project Grad. It's my heart. They are still in need of volunteers. It looks like the theme is going to be New Orleans. Let the good time roll. Does anybody know Let Good Time Roll in French?
They say bon temps roulé.
All right.
We're in Canada. There you go.
Well, as I said, they're still looking for volunteers. Volunteer days are usually the second and fourth Saturdays of the month. But for December, it will be the second Saturday, which will be December 9th. And then, of course, after the first of the year, we'll go back to the second and fourth Saturdays. Please, these are our young people. I feel a strong obligation to help them have a very safe grad night. So, looking forward to seeing you all. Thank you. Appreciate it, Mr. Chair.
So, up next is call to audience. The only audience member here is about 5 months old and can't go out.
Mr. Chair, procedurally, though, because it's on here, would you open it and then close it so that somebody can say you at least held it?
I would like to open the call to audience. If anyone from the audience has something to say, seeing none, I'll close call to audience. Next up is regular session, and you do these, right?
Yes. Regular session item number one, review and approval of the August 1st special session meeting minutes. Does someone wish to move to approve the August 1st minutes or approve with changes? Thank you. A second, please.
I'll second it.
Thank you.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries.
Item number two on the regular session agenda, presentation and discussion regarding the community's next 10-year action plan known as OV Paths Forward. Malini, our principal planner, take it away.
Move up here so I can hopefully
have a sorry, I was trying to keep it alive.
So thank you for having me. My name is Malini Sims and I'm a principal planner with the town. And I'm here to present the launch of OV's Path Forward. So this is the community's next 10-year plan. If you're familiar, the Your Voice, our future general plan is our current one. So if approved by the voters, this is what will replace that one. So this kickoff really starts a 3-year process of community outreach. And this first phase is what we're in right now, and it was launched with the mayor's speech during State of the Town. And so it will run all the way through next September. And this is our phase where we do the most community outreach, and the purpose of which is to get as much feedback as we can to update the community's vision and values, because that's what will really also set the foundation for the rest of the plan. In the second phase is when we'll take all the feedback we're receiving over this next year and really then help refine that information to develop goals and policies for us to work on in 10 years. And that's, again, why community input and participation is so important, because we want to make sure that the plan is something that reflects your values but also is something that we can implement over 10 years that will stay relevant. And then that third phase is where we go back out to the community and we get ready for the vote. So it's letting people know what it is again, making sure we heard everyone right, and we are reflecting what the community wants. So throughout this process, I will be attending your meetings when possible to provide you all with updates as board and commission members. One thing we're doing is rolling out different focus topic discussions each month. So, for instance, what went live this month is housing and economic development. So the town recently recently published the Oro Valley Housing Study, as well as survey responses from the community and the results of that effort. And then we also posted some discussion questions. So the study really was, the purpose of which was to really start the conversation, to figure out what the goals are for housing in the community. Same with economic development. We have some baseline information online, but we're also asking the community, like, you, what do you think we could be doing to better support more retail development in Oro Valley, if that's important? So we will be coming back to your board with some of the updates from these discussions, as well as all the community outreach we've been doing. Starting early next year, we'll be doing a townwide survey as well to get more input for the vision and values that we'll update you guys with. And then lastly, this will all kind of come together to draft the vision and values, which we'll bring to your group as well. So I want to personally thank many of you who helped us get here. Last October, asking you guys to volunteer even more of your time to help create the tools and methods we're going to use to get out to the community. And that was created an award-winning community engagement plan. So your work, as well as the rest of the towns who did the survey, was one of a kind. It was very innovative, what you guys came up with. So I truly want to thank you for that. And then since then, what that community engagement plan does is it really sets the principles for what we're doing now in this first phase, and making sure that although all community members are welcome, we definitely want residents to be prioritized, but especially those that are playing on the sports team. They're coming up here every weekend to watch their kid play softball at the parks, or Halloween Spectacular. There was tons of people there, and some of them, it was their first time. Some of them, their kid goes to school here or what have you, and they heard about it. So we want all of the community to be included in this process. That's with the inclusivity that the community engagement plan has. But again, we are prioritizing resident input as well. Since then, we've worked on what we're calling background reports. Again, that's the baseline information to really start these community conversations. The housing study is part of that, and that will help kind of narrow these more focused conversations on those specific topics. And then the last lift that many of you were also part of was the branding effort. So what created the OV Path Forward? And with your help, I think we do have a name that really evokes accountability, collaboration, community, and also includes what makes Oro Valley unique in its environment. And that's been used, as you can see over there, to now get on stickers, which I think are more exciting than the postcards, the tablecloths, and really getting the branding out there so that the community can hopefully resonate with the community. And we are, as we launched, you probably thought I was joking when I said I'd continually be asking for your time, but we are looking for volunteers, especially through our board and commissions, to help spread the word. If you're in any groups, if you're also on your HOAs or, in a cycling group or something or sports or anything, let us know. We'd be happy to get information to them, happy to present to them. If you're available to help table booths, that would be helpful. So we're going to do an exercise here in a moment. And especially if you really like it, and those of you who've done any advisory group meetings, you know we love our sticky notes in planning. So if you've ever wanted to administer a sticky note exercise, we're looking for volunteers. And if you haven't yet, we did launch a website. It's obpathforward.com. This is an interactive website. I encourage everyone to register. Because if you register, you not only can participate in all the discussions, but you see all more of the discussion items between other residents. And we, as staff, we're just coordinators. We're coordinating people and information. So I personally have loved watching the discussions between different members of the community and talking about these topics. And it's very interesting for us as well. So I encourage you to participate. It's also a way to make sure you're up to date. We'll be sending newsletters out. And then as these topic areas roll out, you'll have more opportunities to participate. Oop, went too fast. So with that, I do want to ask you all, since I have your time, if you would please help us get some information as community members on our main three questions, which are: what should Oro Valley be known for? What do you like best about Oro Valley? And also, what challenges do you see for Oro Valley's future? Again, we're going to be taking these responses and updating the vision. And I will say, I want to thank Mr. Jankowski and all of his staff, the Parks and Rec events. We launch at the right time because we hit all the Halloween events, all the holiday events. Sports are in full throttle. So appreciate all of their help getting us in. Sometimes when I call on a Friday, hey, can I come tomorrow? They're getting us in, so very much appreciate it. But with that, if you would all please take some time and put your answers to these questions on a sticky note and put them on the board. We're not going to go through them. I'm just going to use them to add to the rest of the ones that we have. So give you a couple minutes.
Do you want to just take some sticky notes?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Probably should have started with that.
What do you think? You're our future. What do you think?
Yeah.
I have to say, when we were at the Halloween Spectacular National Night Out, you know, we wanted the parents, of course, to fill it out. But the kids just, they saw markers, they got excited. So we have so many little drawings from kids that, like, nice. You know, they just wanted to participate. And that was great. So I'll have to figure out a way of how to even showcase that.
Put them in your plan.
Yeah.
Put some little photos in your plan.
Yeah. And, like, some kids, they just wanted to write their, they thought, oh, I'll write my name. They, like, they're winning, so.
Right.
But it's, you know, misspelled or something. That was fun.
Yeah, she's got that water right in front of her face. She's like, I want that water.
Can't help it. When I see little bald babies, I think of Jack from The Incredibles.
Oh, don't do that to me,
man. I'm not going to do that. It would be the interdimensional baby.
Please don't light on fire.
Are you done?
Yeah, I just want to thank everyone.
Remember, he died.
But no, I just want to thank you all. And
move along.
Thank you. So, please volunteer. Spread the word. We're also on Facebook and Instagram. So if you're on social media, if you want to follow us and share it that way, we would appreciate it. And again, if you want us to come out to any of your groups, we'd be happy to do so. The more people we can get involved, the better. And now I'm done.
Thank you so much. You going to do statements? No.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. So
they were in a different order.
The regular session agenda item number 3 is discussion of community center financials. And Mr. Gephardt, please introduce yourself, and the floor is yours.
Sure. Well, thank you. Dave Gephardt, Chief Financial Officer for the town. If I haven't had a chance to meet you, appreciate the time for making the time for being here tonight. As part of, we had a kind of an interesting session a couple council meetings ago, where there was some discussion about golf, and staff was kind of accused more or less through some of the comments of being not transparent with golf. And so as part of trying to really remedy that situation, we had some discussions with Town Manager Wilkins, and he suggested that that I start presenting information on the Community Center Fund to PRAB. And really diving into deeper details as well with the Budget and Finance Commission, which is a commission that we normally present at. So this is kind of that's kind of the backstory of why I'm here this evening. I do hope to present at future meetings as well, and so hopefully we kind of build a rhythm here and some momentum and really provide some. Good information and education to you all as part of the PRAB board. So with that, I'll kind of jump right in with my report this evening. So hopefully you've had a chance to open up the report. I don't know if we can bring open the report on the screen or not, but the attachment, hopefully that'll provide some assistance to you all as well. And I apologize for how small.
So go up to the plus thing. Yeah. Hit it about 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay.
Yeah, hopefully you
That's
all.
That's what can. I had to do on mine.
Yeah, that sounds good. Hopefully you all can read that. So I'm going to kind of run through kind of the format of the report as I speak here. This first page really is intended to provide kind of an overall synopsis of the fund, an overall financial summary of the fund. We see revenues there and then uses in that kind of that second section, and then the change in fund balance. So this is kind of really providing an income statement. So you're kind of seeing all the inflows and then all the outflows out of the fund represented here. Looking at it, you see through September, so we're 25% through the fiscal year. Fiscal year starts July 1st, ends June 30th. So through September, we're a quarter of the way through the fiscal year. And we see total uses exceeded total revenues by about $1.574 million, which pushes the fund into a negative fund balance situation. You can kind of see down below there our estimated beginning fund balance is a little over $1 million. So you see that we're in a negative fund balance situation there by running in the red through the first quarter of the fiscal year. This negative fund balance will correct itself over the course of the fiscal year, so I don't want that to be alarming to you. This is kind of normal for this fund. It's you'll see as I kind of discuss it, it's heavily reliant upon golf revenues. and golf expenditures, and there's not a lot July through September. That's not really peak golf season. And so, again, I'll be running through that in a future slide here, but nothing really to be alarmed at here. That will correct itself. Comparing current year to prior year, revenues are about $268,000 higher due to all revenue categories outperforming the prior year. So that's good news. While uses are about $106,000 lower due primarily to transfers out and capital expenditures being less. Comparing revenues to budget, we're at about 21% of total budgeted revenues collected. That's actually a pretty strong number through the first quarter of the year. Again, if you think of things really, balanced throughout the year, ought to be at about 25%. That's not really how this fund operates. It does have its high months and its low months, and that first quarter is really kind of a low period for revenue collection, comparatively speaking. So, comparing uses to budget, we're at about 36% of total budgeted uses through September. Again, that's really mainly due to transfers out. We've transferred out of that fund 100% of our budget, and that is all going towards debt service. So it's debt repayments that is being transferred out of this fund. It's going into a debt service fund. So again, that's something that, it's kind of high on the uses at the beginning of the year. That tends to resolve itself over time as the fiscal year continues. We project our ending fund balance at the end of the year. We're anticipating a slight decline, ending fund balance of about $735,000. I actually think it's going to be higher than that, but we're going to kind of play through this as the year progresses. Usually we're very, very conservative on our projections, both in terms of revenues and expenses. And so if we look at last year or the prior couple years as a barometer, we will outperform that, but we don't want to message that right now. We're going to still kind of lean more on the conservative side of things just because of how fresh the year is. The next page, if we can kind of scroll down to page 2.
Not doing anything.
Uh-oh. Oh, there we go.
I had to wiggle it.
Yeah, so the next page, page 2 really dives into more details on revenues for the fund. The town's half-cent sales tax is at 23% of budget, and that's outperforming the prior year by a little over $37,000, so that's pretty strong. Contracted operating revenues, revenues from our golf contractor, Indigo. Revenues reported for golf operations through September are at about $140,000 higher than last year and at 19% of budget. So again, kind of really trying to dive down more into the details of the revenue side. If we can kind of continue down to the next page there. This also is really diving into details of revenues. Here we see the contracted the town operating revenue as well as other revenue. And that's really our community center is what's represented here. Town operating revenue through September is well outpacing last year by about $85,000 or 45%. That's very, very strong for the first quarter. And again, that's really indicative of, I think, of where we're going to outperform in our ending fund balance at the end of the year, assuming that we can keep our costs under control. So comparing to budget, town operating revenue is at 23%. That's a strong number. Really, we're seeing strong performance across all categories here. Looking at other revenue, we're also seeing strong performance in interest income compared to budget. HOA contributions, those don't get billed out until later on in the year, and so that's why you're not seeing any collections there. They're only billed one time a year, so once those get billed out, we'll see the collections come in, and typically that happens in quarter three, when those collections happen, we'll see how quickly the HOAs pay those bills. Again, nothing really to be too concerned with here. Revenues are performing well in comparison to the prior year, and they're performing really well in comparison to the budget, as well. So Page four, if we kind of keep scrolling here, we dig into kind of more details on the expenditure side and the uses. Or actually, just expenditures on page four. Page four, we see contracted operating expenditures show that personnel is higher than last year by almost $71,000, and that's at about 24% of budget. So we're not exceeding budget here. We're pretty much right on where we ought to be in terms of personnel costs, but higher than last year, which was expected. And then food and beverage costs are also higher than last year by about $25,000, or 26% of budget. So again, pretty close to where we expect to be from a budget standpoint. And then O&M costs are higher than last year by about $113,000, or 28% of budget. And then finally, equipment leases are higher than last year by about $12,000, or 25% of budget. And overall, we see contracted operating expenditures are about $221,000 higher than last year, or 27% of budget. So, again, this is something that we'll have to monitor as the year progresses and try to keep those costs within budget by year end. And if we're successful at doing that, we will have a successful year in this fund. Kind of moving down here, looking at town operating expenditures, personnel is about $54,000 higher than last year, 27% of budget, and O&M is about $8,000 higher than last year, or 24% of budget. So those amounts are pretty much in line with what our expectations were for spending on the town operating side. I need to highlight there, all of the list of capital projects budgeted are listed down there on kind of on that corner, bottom corner quadrant of the slide there. So you can kind of see all of the capital projects that are budgeted. If you go back to page one, you'll see that so far we are at about 8% of our budget expenditures for capital outlay. So we're just kind of really getting some of these projects moving and off the ground. We anticipate that you know, through the balance of the fiscal year, we will spend more, if not all of that budgeted capacity for capital projects. We can kind of keep scrolling there. Here is I apologize for the size of this. It's just this is how we get it from our golf contractor, but this is really a rolled up profit and loss statement from Indigo. Showing all of our golf operations. This includes our Push Ridge 9 course, and then the El Conquistador and Cañada courses, and then also our food and beverage operations. All of that's kind of rolled up into this slide. Year-to-date net loss currently sits at about $426,000. And again, this is something that will correct itself over the course of the fiscal year. As you know, July through September, they're not prime golf months, so nothing really to be concerned about here. We'll monitor spending and hopefully keep that in line, and this will all kind of correct itself over the next several months. If we kind of keep scrolling here, attachment C3, and I don't know if we can rotate this or not.
I can tell you, I don't know how.
Okay.
Everybody wean.
Let me see if I can try it right here.
Yeah.
I see it.
That mouse is wonky.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Perfect.
Okay, good.
Can you make it bigger?
Yeah, you can press the plus button.
So this is an inception to current synopsis of golf operations. So what we're seeing here, and it's broken out really kind of by the major categories. So the 36 hole is a category, the Push Ridge 9 course is a category, and then food and beverage is a category. And we wanted to kind of trend this out and kind of see, from the inception of when we acquired the community center and got into the golf business, wanted to kind of see how that looked over time. And so that's really what this is intended to display. We also see the capital investments, the initial purchase, how that was split out over the three fiscal years, all capital investments. And these capital investments are really they're specific to golf. They're course-related investments. They're not specific even to the community center fund. So, you know, some of these golf course investments are paid for out of our capital fund, which is a separate fund in the town. And so we included those because we wanted that full, complete picture of how golf has performed from inception. And so what we see here, and then we, you know, the half-cent sales tax, which has kind of been a part of the equation there, HOA contributions, et cetera. So cumulatively, what we see is the town has lost about $11 million on golf operations, and then it spent an additional $9.3 million in the initial purchase and capital investments in the courses. And that runs us through September 30th. So this is really pretty current information. So overall, about $20 million total in investments and purchase costs, and then net operating losses. The town has collected over $23 million in sales taxes over that same time span. And then another $443,000 in HOA contributions to offset those investments. Additionally, I'll say much of those operating losses, most of them were sustained prior to the town changing golf operators. So this truly is one of the true success stories of the town over the last several years is the golf operations. Our golf operator has done a miraculous job in changing that model and making it operationally successful and even profitable. The last 2 years, we've been in the black, so we've run slight profits overall in our golf operations, which had not happened prior from inception. So operational performance has been significantly better with Indigo when they took over. The next page there, if we can kind of keep scrolling here, and please stop me if I'm going too fast here, but the next page kind of shows that cyclical nature month by month. And, you know, really what we're comparing here is the last two full fiscal years, fiscal year 22 and fiscal year 23, and then the first quarter of this current fiscal year. And we have it broken out again by kind of the major components here of food and beverage, we have it broken out by gross income and then expenses and then net income. So this is really, really rolled up all three of those components, food and beverage, that push nine course, and then the 36 holes. What we see here is really primarily our net income months are from November through April. That is when golf takes off. That is when that program really sustains itself. The other months of May through October are really negative months from an operational standpoint. So golf is a very cyclical business, especially here in Southern Arizona. People don't like to golf when it's 110 degrees out. They like to golf when the weather's nice. And of course, we have a pretty significant snowbird population as well that kind of comes in through those months, and they tend to help us out in that regard as well. So we track through this and trend it, and we definitely know that our money-making months, so to speak, are through November through April, and then those other months are kind of more negative months from an operating standpoint. So we're just kind of, as we're in November right now, this should be a really good month. We're expecting positive results moving forward through April of this upcoming year. And if there are any questions about golf operations or the community center fund, I don't know if can I entertain those, Joe?
This is a conversation item.
Okay.
If they have questions.
Well, questions? Yes.
I've got a question. I'm a golfer, so I'm very well aware of how good Troon is in managing golf operations. My concern has always been the food and beverage, mm-hmm. that restaurant up there. Are they managing that still as part.
Yeah. So attachment C3, if you look at attachment C3, there's netting that you know, again, we kind of break that attachment out on the revenue and the expense side and then the profit and loss. So down at the bottom, fiscal year 22, the town brought in net, this was net income, almost $41,000 due to food and beverage. So very positive results. Again, this was one of the primary changes that Indigo made to the model. Troon was not really managing that Overlook restaurant very well. Okay. Indigo came in. They said, yeah, we can make this profitable. There's actually really strong incentives in their contract.
They have experience in this area.
And they have experience in this area, absolutely. And so, so you see fiscal year 22, we're in the black, almost 41,000. Fiscal year 23, we're in the black, a little over $128,000. So very positive results. That is actually offsetting some of the operational losses that are sustained on the 36 hole. Push Ridge, we've seen, you see on that same slide, some gains there, or we're running in the black, almost 61,000 in fiscal year 22, and a little over 23,000 in fiscal year 23. So Push, we've also been operating in the black, but the 36 hole actually has been operating slightly in the red. It's just offset by
Are these numbers showing that disc golf out of Push Ridge at all?
Yes, it is inclusive of all revenue sources at Push. Yeah. So disc golf is included there in those results. Yes. Other questions?
Go ahead.
Well, a simple question and then a comment. What are the HOA contributions? What is that?
So several years ago, about three years ago, the town entered into HOA agreements with the HOAs that surrounded the course in attempt because we were having, financial challenges. And this was really an opportunity for the houses and those HOAs that surround those courses to participate in trying to keep the courses viable, financially viable for the town, so that we could continue operating them. There are 5-year agreements, and we've gone through 3 years of those agreements. We have 2 years remaining, and at which point we're going to reevaluate. I think there will be a reevaluation as to whether those agreements are necessary moving forward. But it was really just an attempt to keep golf as an amenity that the town continued to operate and invest in moving forward. So that's what's going on there, and they're temporary, and that'll be a town council decision in conjunction, obviously, because they are agreements with the HOAs as to whether those continue on after that initial five-year term. So.
They did have a discussion at town council a couple of meetings ago with the HOAs.
Yes, correct.
Phil?
Thanks, Matt. First of all, thank you very much for getting the word out on a successful town project and our park and recreation project. So thank you for doing that. Were there other concerns transparency-wise for like operations or anything like that? It was mostly just a background on the financial side?
It was really, I'll say that what I heard, and others were there and maybe they heard something different, but what I heard was primarily related to golf. And it wasn't even related to the community center or town run operations. It was really really related to golf. I think there was some I think there was just people didn't feel like there was enough information out there in relation to golf. Again, this is really kind of an attempt for us to try to remedy that.
So are these reports that you have now a result of that, or have they already been in the works?
So most of these reports have already, they've been in the monthly financial reports, and you can find those online on our website, in the finance department section of our website. Most of these reports they've been ongoing reports. The Indigo report that, you need strong reading glasses to kind of see because it's so much information on such a small page. I would say attachment C3 is really kind of more of a new attachment that we've added. And that came out of a discussion with one of the HOA presidents. He was asking some questions and wanted to kind of see where things were at and wanted to understand it a little, understand the financial aspects and implications of golf a little bit better. So we kind of put that together and decided to kind of continue it on, just because we think it's good information for the public, for the community to see. The town is invested in golf. If you look at the capital investments for the irrigation projects, it's a lot of money. It's close to $9 million. So the town's invested, and that's just the irrigation. There have been other course improvements and other investments that the town has made as well. And we just thought, we're going to be transparent. If we're accused of not being transparent, we're just going to throw more information out there and be even more transparent that, the town has put a lot of money into the golf operation. It has turned itself around. Again, I view it as one of the amazing success stories of the town over the last several years. I'd be hard pressed to find another success story that honestly could rival this from a financial standpoint. You look at the losses again from inception forward, and they're pretty staggering, to be honest with you. Almost $2 million in 2018, almost $2.5 million in 2017. Those are operating losses. Mm-hmm. And so golf was a major issue for the town. Since Indigo has come on board, that really has turned itself around. So good news there. We're not getting out of the golf business anytime soon. The town's in this for the long haul, and especially as it relates to the 36-hole course. Now, the Push Ridge course, that's going to come under review in the next several months by town council. And that was communicated very clearly, I believe, a couple years ago, that we were going to revisit that one. And we'll see where that discussion goes. But as it relates to the Kenyatta course and the Conquistador course, those are here for the long haul. So.
Thank you. Just one more question. On one of the slides, I think it was the first one, you had one of the uses expenses was transfer out.
Yeah.
Could you just elaborate on that? Maybe not too much, but just...
Yeah, so... Yeah, no, that's a good question. I appreciate that. So transfers out, that's the town is set up in a fund accounting environment, and so it sets up different funds for different purposes depending on the revenue source. And so what we use transfers for, what you see it utilized here for this current fiscal year, it's all going towards debt service. So when the town issued the $25 million Parks and Rec bond to redo Naranja Park and make improvements to multi-use paths and so forth, that $25 million, that was a debt that the town took on. It issued bonds, and it needs to be repaid. And so what we're doing is we're utilizing the half-cent sales tax to repay that debt. But it's that debt, those principal and interest payments, come out of a debt service fund. It's a specific fund that we have set up for repayment of debt. And so it's transferring money out of the community center fund as those half-cent sales tax dollars are received. It's transferring those resources to repay the debt. Last fiscal year, we utilized the transfers out mechanism as well. In addition to the debt service payments that were required, we utilized it to fund, to move money into our capital fund. And our capital fund is where our golf irrigation project was budgeted. And so that was a town council directed decision to move resources from the community center fund into the capital fund specifically for golf irrigation to help fund that. And so that's what you see there with the transfers out. Does that explain that question?
Thank you.
And that was like $7 million, wasn't it, the two irrigation projects?
It's closer to $9 million. I think we're going to land, I want to say about $8.6 million.
Okay.
Yeah, it's actually under budget. I think we're going to land on, it should be close to done. Do you have any intel on that?
Yeah, it's done.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
The projects have been completed. All 36 holes are open. And yeah, it did come in, I think, a touch under budget. And part of that was because we purchased all of the equipment, all of the materials
early.
Up front and stored it and kept it.
That proved to be a real good move.
Yeah. So we did that specifically with the golf irrigation project. There's been a couple other smaller ones. We did some resurfacing of the cart paths and some other improvements out there. But yeah, absolutely. Those projects are done. We've got 45 holes of golf operating.
Yeah. Go ahead. Your turn.
Yeah. So I might have lost this in the numbers. But so the community center, you kept saying like the seasonal pattern of golf. Mm-hmm. The community center itself, does that follow the same seasonal pattern?
It really doesn't. It really is. It's memberships. It's classes. I would say most of those things are not really seasonal in nature. There are some events that can kind of spike it up in certain months. It doesn't really follow the same seasonality type pattern that because it's not specific upon the weather. Mm-hmm. Golf really is dependent upon the weather. If we have a really wet, rainy season, then we don't have to irrigate the courses as much. That can really have a significant impact on our cost structure. If it's really hot, people don't really want to play as much. So that can have a really strong impact on our revenue structure. Golf, Matt may have more information on that because this is kind of his area. But I would say, generally speaking, it doesn't follow the same strong seasonal where you definitely know where your months are that you're going to make money and the months where you're not going to make money. It doesn't really follow that same type of pattern. But
since we've come out of the pandemic, we've been strong pretty much year round. Prior to that, we would see a little bit of lull during the summer times. We've increased our programming pretty significantly, so we've got a lot of things that are offered truly year round. One of the other things too that we did a couple of years ago is we implemented the Renew Active program, mm-hmm. and Silver and Fit program. Yep. We're working through with Silver Sneakers, so those are discounted. If you qualify, they're free. Oh, yeah. Classic memberships to our facilities for people who qualify, and really through their age or their insurance requirements. So that's provided an increase in membership numbers as well. So I would say really the biggest impact we see based off seasonality is when winter visitors do come in, our drop-in revenue, mm-hmm. at the facility jumps up. Pickleball is the main reason for that. People are coming and playing pickleball and paying the drop-in fee in lieu of getting a membership, possibly. But our numbers have remained very strong all throughout summer. And it's funny because even when, maybe some of the winter visitors go away, our camps, we've been expanding our camps and the participation numbers there, and they continue to reach capacity. So it's, I mean, seeing those numbers, we're in a good place. We're continuing to be very consistent and consistent at a high level.
Yeah.
So my question is I've got the arrow up there. I got it there. So is that the half cent?
Yes, that is the half cent sales tax.
Okay. Yep. And it's gone up remarkably in the...
Yeah, the half cent sales tax, it's interesting. Inflation has kind of been our friend there.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's just the reality of it. As costs have risen, the half cent sales tax has risen as well. So that's kind of offset the town's increase in operational costs. That's been beneficial. The town it continues to grow. The half cent sales tax has remained very resilient. We were thinking, I think everyone has been talking for the last couple of years, okay, when's the recession coming? When's the recession coming? And it just hasn't materialized yet. We've still got our eye on the ball there. We're still kind of monitoring that and seeing if there's any softening of spending out there. But so far we've, You know, we've seen good gains, year-over-year gains in the half-cent sales tax. And that's, we've leveraged that. That's allowed us, really allowed us to issue those bonds, the $25 million in Parks and Rec bonds, leverage the increase in half-cent sales tax over time and allowed us to really complete some projects that have been longstanding, wish list type items for the community and for the town council. So it's been very positive.
Anybody else have any questions?
I don't have a question. I just have a comment, if that's okay.
Oh, sure.
All right. We didn't have to build this thing. We bought it for, $1 million? Mm-hmm. Yeah, what a garage sale that was. so I think the narrative on this facility, it's a community resource. It's a valuable community resource, right? And the programming, to your point. So if we want a dollar as an incentive, and I know Dave does that really, really well. We've worked together in the past. But the narrative about what a valuable resource this is, I think really needs to rise to the top with these discussions. Because I still feel like people want to, be mad about the purchase 10 years ago or whatever that was, right? So I think this is awesome that you're doing this, Dave. It really lays that much more credibility to the fact that this is a viable facility. But we need to take that narrative to the next level because you guys have programmed the heck out of it for camps and special events. And, people play golf there, but then they go to Noble Hops and have a beer and a burger. And they stay at hotels here. They're at the Golf Villas right across the street. So it's a hub. I mean, it really is a hub for a lot of economic activity as well. So
absolutely.
Just my two cents on this thing. I've never felt like it was an anchor. I always felt like it was, it's not holding us back. It's moving Oro Valley forward as far as I'm concerned. So my two cents.
Great facility, and now that the irrigation is solved, it's made a huge improvement.
Yeah, I think Cheryl's point is well taken. We had Budget and Finance Commission interviews because we have a couple openings on our commission last couple weeks. And several of, we had five candidates and several of them, which I think is, it's not statistical, statistically valid or anything, but several of the candidates told us how much they enjoy the community center. Four of the five candidates were brand new moved to this community, moved to the town within the last couple of years. One had, has been here for a long time and whatever, but for several of them who moved here and they said, we looked all around and whatever, and we are so happy we're in Oro Valley. And we love the community center. They mentioned that. And so, again, I think Cheryl's point is well taken. The increase in memberships, the utilization of that facility. We had to increase the parking there just because the parking lot was was always jammed up.
There's a traffic light.
There
wasn't a traffic light before.
It is a town asset, and it is getting utilized very heavily, which speaks to its value and use by our community.
Just a comment as well. I made note of your comment about the golf courses being in the long term for both Kenyatta and El Conquistador.
Yeah.
I would submit to you that the Push Ridge will fall into that category very quickly. Because those who are not golfers, if you want to play nine holes, that's practically impossible with the two 18-hole courses. Push Ridge is an ideal thing, and there is a market for nine-hole golf. So I hope we don't forget about that.
Yeah. That'll be a town council decision.
The guys I talk to are very much in the same mode. They want to see Push Ridge succeed. And you look at the numbers from the pre to the post decision, and they've gone way up. They've done a terrific job.
And their HOAs have been strong partners with the town over the last couple of years of turning that course around as well. So,
anybody else have any questions? If not, we'll let you out.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks,
Dave. Thank you. So I'll make a motion to adjourn at...
Item number four, consideration...
Adopt your calendar.
Yes, adopt your calendar.
Don't adjourn just yet, Mr. Chair.
be here.
Okay, everyone
every
ignore
month.
Gary. Ignore Matt. Okay.
Oh, sure.
The special session agenda item number 4, consideration and adoption of the calendar year 2024 Parks and Recreation Advisory Board meeting schedule. I move to approve the 2024 meeting schedule. May I have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Do you even know what the dates are?
Yeah, here.
Just to help correct the chair, we're in a regular session, not a special session, but that's okay.
It said special. I just read it.
Sorry, that's my...
She gave you a bad agenda, Mr. Chair. I'm telling you.
Sorry, I closed out of it.
I can read them.
Do you have them there? That I can
right here, too.
Right here. Schedule.
Sure.
Okay, here you go. And like I was saying before, there are study sessions, special sessions that do come up. This is our baseline for kind of how we've done things.
Just to help explain, these are your regular meetings. It does not preclude you from having more meetings.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks,
what Joe said. That's what Joe said. So, any discussion on this?
No.
Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Now, seeing no further business, I would like to make a motion to adjourn at 7:10. May I have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Anybody else can stay.
Any opposed? Yeah. Stay on the Zoom meeting.
So you'll keep me posted?
I will definitely let you know. If I don't let you know directly, I'll call Casey and we'll let you know.
Okay, thank you.
But yeah, we'll... Yeah.